plenty was being made yesterday everywhere about these news polls. Labor's primary vote is at 42%. It's the most the Labor Party has enjoyed in 8 years. And it's only slightly down on the 43.38% that delivered it 23 seats against John Howard in the 2007 landslide election win by Kevin Rudd. The two-party preferred vote is 56-44, which would mean the Liberal Party would lose 30 seats. Now, I said when Malcolm Turnbull became Prime Minister, it would end in tears. And it has. Well, I'm telling you now, this is my prediction, forget the polls. You can forget the polls. Scott Morrison's been there for 5 minutes. He's already outperformed Bill Shorten on almost every measure. He's now the preferred Prime Minister. He's regarded as more likeable and more trusted than Mr. Shorten. He's regarded as more decisive than Mr. Turnbull. The voters believe he'll deliver stronger leadership. And he got onto the front foot yesterday in question time in no uncertain fashion. Now, admittedly, it is the Coalition's 40th consecutive losing news poll, and the Coalition is only on 34% of the primary vote. So, obviously, Mr. Morrison knows he's got the job in front of him. But this, in my opinion, is very retrievable. I said there were two things needed, that a Turnbull-led party could not win government. Simple as that. There had to be a change in leader and a change in policy. We've got the change in leader. Now, what about the change in policy? The Prime Minister is on the line. Prime Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Just a brief comment on that. I mean, the Liberals couldn't get 30% of the vote in the Longman by-election. In Wagga, the Liberals couldn't get 25%. So just on that vote, how do you turn that primary vote around?
Well, the first thing is to reassure Australians about what we believe. I mean, we've been very good at the what. I mean, a million jobs, all of the achievements we've had on funding, for whether it's for schools or disability schemes or all of this, we've been delivering as a government. But the why, people want to know. They want to be able to be assured that we believe passionately in the same things that the Australian people believe in. And that's a fair go for those who have a go, that you come to make a contribution, not take one, that the best form of welfare is a job. These are the things that we believe and that will drive our policies as a government.
All right, so you say you want to be sure that you believe in what they believe in. Now, the last time we spoke, I put the interview up on the Facebook page, and there were literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments saying that if you're committed to Paris, quote, it's more of the same left-wing rubbish, little has changed. Another one said, if he wants to keep Bill out of the top job, he'll drop Paris. Another one said, why in the heck doesn't he come straight out and say he's pulling out of the Paris Agreement and stopping subsidies? Another, if he hasn't ditched Paris for a start, then nothing's changed. That's the litmus test. Now, I just asked people this morning on the open line, what do they think about question time yesterday, your performance and so on? And these were very supportive people. Now, this is Michael, Prime Minister. Just listen to Michael.
I'd like you to ask the Prime Minister to get rid of this Paris Accord. Absolutely get rid of it. And once again, the migration needs to be issued too. But that, I think, is the big issue. And I think it'd be great if you could, before you can go nuclear.
Well, nuclear will come to at a later date. And then Nick, Prime Minister, said this.
Alan, I've written to you about my electricity bill. I'm pretty sick of my partner and I, just two of us, paying $800 a quarter. I live in Liverpool and they're just putting up high-rise after high-rise and bringing in people to move into the area, but there's no the road network, transport network around it can't handle it. No matter which motorway you're on around here, you sit in traffic from 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
So there you are. Now, on that, you're listening. Now, you've either got to dump Paris or ignore it. Which is it?
Well, I'm going to get electricity prices down.
No, but hang on. No, you're going to dump Paris or ignore it. Which is it?
Well, we meet it in a canter.
You can't meet it.
So therefore, and Alan, let me finish. We meet it in a canter. It'll have no impact on electricity prices. But I'll tell you what will. Labor will legislate a 45% emissions reduction target. That will push people's power prices up by $1,400 a year. The policies that that we're working on will see prices fall by around $400 a year, and that's just on the price guarantee.
But that's down the never-never. You've got to be sure. These people are telling me. They're telling me that the prices haven't gone down. See, if you say to me, those are your words, I've just written them down, no impact on electricity prices, then you don't need it. Then you can rip it up, throw it in the bin, if it's going to have no impact on electricity prices. Why do you allow your name and your prime ministership to be tied to something that belongs to someone else?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Alan.
Go on.
I'm going to make decisions in the national interest.
Yeah. Well, therefore you'll rip up Paris.
I have to consider not just the issues here, Let me tell you what's happening in the Pacific. In the Pacific, this is an issue which is incredibly important. And in the Pacific, this issue dominates their thinking and agenda. Now, the Pacific is one of the most strategic areas of influence in our world today. 26%, we will meet in a canter. It won't have any impact on electricity prices, and Angus Teller will tell you the same thing. This doesn't determine what will happen with electricity prices. What it will do, we will just meet it because of technology and business as usual. So I'm not going to get distracted by those sort of litmus tests. What I'll get focused on is getting people's electricity prices down. Now, I know some people can have a different view to me about Paris, but honestly, this has distracted people for a decade. It's not the thing that I'm focusing my attention on. The 26% was set 4 years ago. It's been there all of that time. And in that time, we have created 1 million jobs. So we'll get on with growing the economy. I'm just going to keep focusing on getting electricity prices down with the policies that I know will work.
Okay, look, one final comment I've got to say to you here, because people are angry about this. Now, the farmers are saying, they heard what you said, oh, we'll meet this 26% quite comfortably. The farmers are saying, yes, most probably will, because this will be done by carbon sequestration. That is, that grass and trees will absorb the carbon dioxide, because the science proves that more carbon is sequestered by grass than by trees. So they have, the farmers have, the Queensland Vegetation Management Act, which punishes the farmer.
Now, which I don't support, Alan.
No, well, I mean, you're the leader. I'm saying this is how you'll get the carbon dioxide thing down.
No, it's
that is,
Alan,
don't touch the trees and don't touch the grass.
No, it's going to be because of technology and people's energy usage. That's what's also changing. I mean, people's energy usage has been changing for years.
Well, of course it'll be changing if they can't afford it.
No, it's changing because it gets more efficient. The devices they use, the way that they build houses these days, all of this, it's all changing.
There are thousands and thousands of Australians have been had their electricity bill cut off, so they're not using it. Yeah. There's less electricity being used.
What I don't plan to do, Alan, I plan to win the next election, and I'm not going to win this next election by fighting it on Bill Shorten's ground. Bill Shorten wants to have an ideological debate about climate. I want to have a practical debate about reducing electricity prices. So if people want to see a Liberal Party win the next election, the thing to focus on is the practical things that reduced electricity prices, and that's what I'm focused on.
Well, your Deputy Josh, I'll finish here on this question. Your Deputy Josh Frydenberg told the ABC at the weekend that no one is more disappointed than I am at the demise of the National Energy Guarantee. I mean, those mixed messages don't help, do they?
The National Energy Guarantee legislation, which was going to legislate the Paris target, is not going ahead. We confirmed that decision at Cabinet last night. I'll tell you who is going to legislate an emissions reduction target, and that's Bill Shorten, and he will do it at 45%. That's the difference between a low alcohol beer at about 2 to 3% and a full glass of single malt whiskey. That's the difference. People that want to understand what the difference between 26% is and 45%, that's the difference.
Right, well, I'm not here to pump up your tyres, but I can assure you I have been saying for about 2 years, no one can win an election with a 50% renewable energy target. So
No. That
ought to console you to some extent. Now, let's go back then to all this sort of left-winging nonsense. Now, a by-election in the seat of Wentworth, I'm told that you and Photios, I hope you're not tying your cart to the Photios horse. I
haven't spoken to him.
Want a woman to be the candidate. Now, people are already writing to me this morning, and Janet Albrechtson writing in the Australian newspaper says there could be nothing more demeaning to women to think that the only way a woman could win pre-selection is if the men pull out. I mean, are you a merit person or not?
I'm a merit person, and the party members will decide our candidate in Wentworth.
Right. You haven't been advocating that there should be a woman?
It's their choice, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it has to be
you're
in
the
every
leader.
Single seat in the country.
You're the leader.
Look, I want to see more women in the federal parliament. Mm. I want to see more
there
women.
There might be a lot of women who don't want to be there.
In New South Wales and in every state and territory. We have not done as well in that area as I'd like us to do. But the party members are the ones who have to take on that responsibility, and they're the ones who have to make those decisions.
Are you talking to this woman, Julia Banks? Don't you love the fact that people make these allegations about bullying, but there's no substantive proof of this? What kind of setup are we running here?
I don't know what setup you're talking about. This is the setup. We have party whips. They provide the pastoral care amongst colleagues in the parliament. I talk to all of my colleagues, and we deal with those issues to the extent
is there bullying
inside the tent and inside the family.
Is there bullying?
Now, look,
Have you seen bullying?
People, and what they've some have been concerned about things that have happened in their party divisions. But it was a pretty torrid week a few weeks ago, and the party membership here in Canberra are getting past that, and they're getting on with the job, which is what I expect them to do.
Have you, though, spoken to Julia Banks and, and asked her to stay in the Parliament at least until the election?
Well, I didn't have to ask her because that's what she'd committed to do.
But she wasn't in the Parliament yesterday. Was she on a holiday or something?
No, she was in Parliament yesterday.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
She's normally standing beside you. She missed the publicity of that, did she?
Yeah, no, she's sitting in a different seat now because she said she's not contesting the next election.
Oh, right. Are you aware, though, while all this was going on in Question Time, and I think that you were as frustrated as everybody, there are real problems in other parts of Australia. This coordination of drought relief, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, Prime Minister, have been given, and the farmers I speak to haven't seen the money. When is this bloke in charge, the coordinator, going to start, A, telling people where the collection point is for this money and how it's going to be distributed? Because the farmers aren't seeing it.
Yeah, no, he's been in the job 1 week longer than I have. And last night we confirmed all of his powers through Cabinet. And the way that works is instead of having to work through umpteen different departments, he will have people working across multiple different departments answering directly into him at a Commonwealth level. Now, obviously, he can't...
Would you declare making this a national disaster?
Well, that's effectively what's happening by, you know, putting one person in charge of a whole range of public service offices from everything from human services...
All right. Well, just supposing you were the farmer, Prime Minister...
You've got to get the plan right.
You're right. But just supposing you were the farmer and you've heard the government announce a farm household allowance.
Yeah.
Now, basically, it's taking hours and hours to complete it. There are 110 questions.
It takes 7 hours for a couple... With a financial council, they told me.
But I mean, should they, an assets and income test form, a company form, a real estate form.
Yep.
You've got to collate the last 2 years' profit and loss accounts, balance sheets, business tax returns.
It's ridiculous.
Well, have you stopped that?
Well, we've got it down by 25%, and I've told them that's not enough. So they're going back to work and getting it down further.
Good on you. Now, dairy farming. Do you know anything about this? Most probably not. But can I just tell you that this 50 cents...
As much as about as I do about sheep.
Yeah, you did a good answer. That was a good answer, by the way. You didn't know the back from the front. But
have milk one, though.
Right. This is meant to be a serious conversation.
Sorry. That's okay. Particularly on this issue.
Right. Now, dairy farming. Now, dairy farmers are simply saying the farm gate price of 50 cents a litre will not pay the bills. Now, a farmer I spoke to yesterday said that basically the fodder price has gone up from $200 a bale to $500 a bale. He can only get 50 cents a litre of his milk. He's got to shut the shop down. Now, surely to God, who's going to pull all these processors and others together to see that the dairy farmer can get a fair farm gate price, which is higher than the cost of production?
Yeah, well, there's two things here. One is what's driving the prices up, and we all know the reason for that. The other issue is more generally how you're dealing with the pricing that takes place in the dairy industry. Now, David Littleproud, as you know, has been consulting with industry, and there's not a common view about how this gets sorted. There is not a common view about whether a levy is the way to do that. I'm never a fan of taxes being the answers to problems. He's bringing back a package.
You whacked one onto the banks, though.
Sorry?
You whacked one onto the banks.
I did. And
you're not you said you're not in favour of taxes.
I'll tell you why I did that. Let me tell you why I did that. Because the banks actually receive, effectively, a guarantee over their operations on their funding. And that's provided by the government.
Are you going to whack up that levy?
No, I'm not.
Right.
No, I said that at the time. I said what it was. Right. 6 basis points.
Just coming back to the dairy farmer, can you understand that?
And David's coming back to me and Cabinet with a plan. I'm also talking to Fiona Simpson over the National Farmers, as you'd expect, and other key stakeholders. And no, I get it. I mean, I used to flat down here with Bill Heffernan, and most Sunday nights...
Well, you can do worse than talk to him every Sunday night. He knows the scene backwards. But I just make one point there. A farmer told me yesterday 36 bales of hay in June cost $5,000. A month ago, it's $19,000. Now, on 50 cents a litre, he's got to close the joint down.
Yeah, well, it's like the impact of gas prices, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, if the gas feedstock price is going into commercial industrial businesses, you know, you asked Dick Honan about that down on the south coast of New South Wales. You've seen what his gas feedstock prices have done, and that's why we need more gas, whether it's in New South Wales, Victoria, or anywhere else.
Just before you go, a Christian community care organisation in Queensland is facing the Industrial Relations Commission because its chief executive advocated against gay marriage in an email to staff. Now, this goes to the heart of the religious freedom debate.
Agreed.
Dozens of chief executives were arguing in favour in favour of same-sex marriage. Nothing happened to them. Here's a man who just simply wrote a courteous email to staff, and he told them courteously that why they should argue a no case, and now he faces the Queensland Anti-Discrimination Commission. What is the new Prime Minister going to do about this issue of religious freedom?
Well, I'm going to protect it. And I've got the report back from Philip Ruddock, and I'm working through that now as we speak. And I'll be making some announcements about that over the next few months as we get that response in place. But I can tell you this, people know what I said about this last year. They heard what I said in the Parliament last year about protecting people against these very circumstances. Now, people say, oh, you know, there's been none of that, and there's no risk, and there's no threat, and you don't need to do anything. Well, I disagree. I think if you don't have freedom of your faith, of your belief, and in whatever religion that is, then you don't have freedom in this country at all. It's
good
the most
you.
Profound thing
good on you.
An Australian...
Well, you might have to put that in legislation because
well,
of the... Okay.
Smite, Alan.
We'll
and,
talk again soon. You've got to go, I've got to go. But I really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Alan.
Not Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister.